This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. We're going to have an extremely good show today. We have Ranger Jim Lewis on today from our battlefield, and Mary Beth Neville's Oakland's Mansion. And you called me a few days ago, Mary Beth, and you have a special project going on, and it relates a little bit like the one that you had last time you were on my show, only we had wedding dresses that pretty much crossed the time span.
That's right.
from this area.
That's right.
And you're going to do that again, and we're mostly focusing, and that's one of the reasons we got Jim here today, is on the Civil War here and some of the things that were going on. So what are you doing at Oakland's that's going to be special? Especially for this weekend.
This weekend, we are so excited. We have a privately owned collection of Civil War clothing that will be on display in our reception hall. It's a couple out of Georgia that own it. They're bringing it up for the weekend only. So it'll be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it's everything from ladies' dresses with the hoops to men's coats, hats, ladies' bonnets, jewelry. It's a little bit of everything, even photos and daguerreotypes that you can see the folks wearing period clothing too. And so it does have a good tie-in to the wedding dress exhibit you mentioned that we did in January and February. It's just a perfect time for people who are interested in textiles or costuming to come and really get an up-close look at the fabrics and the stitches and the clothing.
Now, are these clothes that people would wear every day, or are these the Sunday go to meeting type clothes that people would wear during that time?
This is going to be a little of all the above. They bring a big variety. They heard about the wedding dress exhibit we did, so they have even agreed to bring a wedding gown that's period that they don't take out very often. So it's a little bit of everything. It's a really good variety, and they have such a large collection that when they take it out, they try to alternate out their dresses. They were last here in Middle Tennessee in 2008 and set up at Belmont Mansion. So a lot of people may have seen the exhibit then, and it's the same collection, but they have acquired so many new things that they've added to it.
I'm sure there's probably a story that goes with most of the clothing and the articles that are brought in that are historical for some of the things that may have happened during that particular time frame.
I hope so. I have not been able to see this.
I've actually seen the exhibit several times. Janine and Philip Whiteman, who own the collection, are actually volunteers at Kennesaw Mountain National Battlefield Park. And our park takes our cannon down there every year. And often they have this collection or part of it on display. And quite a few of the items actually do have, you know, you'll have some labels that'll tell you a little bit of the story, but all you got to do is ask Philip or Janine, you know, the story behind a, you know, a jacket or a picture or something, and you'll learn all kinds of stories. I mean, and begin to understand that how the Civil War really, you know, that time period impacts people in so many different ways through that.
You know, that's one of the good things about having the memorial here. Is you keep that historical time alive. It's not just the battle that's going on, but all of the things that are affected by the war and all the things that are happening right here, and you can bring it back to life where it would be sometime before it actually occurred, and you can relate some of the things that were going on through the people's minds at that time.
Certainly, and I think, you know, history is about us, about people, and certainly when it comes to wars, obviously the soldiers do play a very prominent role in that, but it is a distinctly human endeavor, warfare, and so the human stories, I think, and we think at the battlefield, and I believe that they do so at Oakland's as well, are the important things to tell, and that's kind of what we're going to try to do this weekend is, show people how one event, Forrest Murfreesboro Raid, can be perceived and experienced so differently by if you're a Confederate soldier, it looks one way. If you're a Union soldier encamped on the yard at the Manny's house, it looks another way. And then if you're one of the poor folks that is just kind of caught in the middle as all this is going on, it can look 100 different ways depending on where your station in life and whatnot is and what's going on in your life at the time July 13th, 1862 rolls around.
It's hard to look at the entire picture when you're caught up in battle, because you're thinking of one or two things, and one is surviving.
Yeah,
you're not particularly
not alive. And
yeah,
killing the guy and in your sights
yeah,
and
yeah.
stuff. Yeah, I mean, and soldiers tend to narrow their focus. You know, they tend to forget about causes and things like that, and more about you know what's in front of them and how to you know do their duty and get it over with and keep as many of their buddies alive. But so I think you know. These programs that we're going to do this weekend will help people feel that if they do, you know, do what we hope they do, which is kind of come visit the battlefield, you know, and see the cavalry do their demonstrations and kind of listen to that story and then head over to Oakland's for the civilian part of it and the story of the at least the part of the Union soldiers that were encamped there.
So. Well, now tell me exactly what you're going to be doing this weekend over at the battlefield.
Well, at the battlefield itself, we will have the 7th Tennessee Cavalry, which has had a long-standing relationship with our park. Anybody who's from around here who has visited us regularly knows that you can expect to have those boys out about once a year. They've had settled in the last couple of years into an October program, which they were enjoying immensely weather-wise, but they have graciously agreed to come back out in the hot summer. To commemorate, you know, Forrest Raid here. So they will be there doing their usual wonderful demonstrations that really are captivating to folks because it's a rare thing we get to work with the horses. We need people that really know how to do it. And the program that goes along with that will be about, you know, how would a Confederate cavalryman, you know, we have very little primary source accounts from Forrest Cavalry themselves. Yeah. But we, you know, from the bits and pieces and from the reports, you know, we know this is a pretty big and kind of a happy deal for them. And that'll be at 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock each day at the battlefield. Then an hour and a half later at 11:30 and 2:30, one of our rangers will be over at Oakland's with a group of Union soldiers encamped just like the 9th Michigan was in the Manny's front yard and look at the other side of the military coin, which is, you know, how do these guys feel about, you know, what happened to them on, and we do have a lot of accounts from them, in particular one by a fellow named Charles Bennett, sergeant in the 9th Michigan, and our program will be based on the gamut of emotions that he experiences during that fight. And then you all, Mary Beth, will be, besides the civilian exhibit, your house tours will be having a focus on the civilians and what their stories were during it.
Our curator has gone back through oral histories that were taken from descendants over the years and tried to put together as much information. We don't have a lot of primary resources either, but some of these oral histories we were able to piece together this time period. And it's just a feeling of what the Mannies were going through during the Civil War. Like Adeline, who was the lady of the house, was only in her mid-30s. And she had children in the house ranging from 2 to 15. So she was, you know, a young mom when all this was going on, and they're watching out the front window. So it's a really different perspective that we can add.
Do you get much information from the Rutherford County Historical Society? Because they have written so many books that relate to that particular era.
Yes. Well, they publish the John C. Spence annals and his diary, and we carry those because it's such a good resource for Murfreesboro during this time period.
Sorry to interrupt here, but we've got some breaking news.
Breaking news. Breaking news. This is Talk Radio WGNS.
We have just learned of a fuel spill that has caused some major problems on Thompson Lane. Westbound lanes on Thompson Lane right there at the Memorial intersection, one of the busiest here in Murfreesboro, closed. Westbound lanes closed because of a fuel spill, and it's going to take a couple of hours to clean that up. The City Engineering Department just gave us a call and said it's going to be into rush hour that Memorial and Thompson Lane closed. The section westbound lanes closed going towards Siegel High School, the Siegel Elementary School complex between the Kangaroo and the Walgreens westbound lanes of Thompson Lane at Memorial are closed for the afternoon. So we wanted to pass that along so you can make sure to head the other way if possible. And, of course, you know that's a pretty busy area out there, Truman.
It is. It's always busy no matter what. You got a fuel spill. One thing about it, back then you didn't have fuel spills, did you?
Not unless the hay fell off the wagon, because that was the fuel for the animals.
You have what I consider an ideal job over there at the park, and being part of the history of something that was so important to this nation and to this particular area. Do you kind of get wrapped up in it sometimes, Jim, as far as the... sometimes do you kind of remain in the 1860s rather than the 2000s?
Well, there's a few folks at the park that think I was born about a century and a half too late, because I do enjoy particularly the living history side of things, maybe a little too much. But, yes, I mean, I always tell folks I don't even have a job. I basically get paid, thank you, American taxpayer, to do
You're welcome.
What I would do for pretty much free. I've been a studier of the Civil War for a good long time, and you know, to have this opportunity to essentially work at what I would do for play is amazing. And I think any park ranger, no matter what park they work at, I mean, you'll get that feeling from them, because whether it be a Civil War battlefield or one of the icon parks like Yellowstone or something like that, just talk to a ranger and ask them. I mean, we gravitate to the National Park Service because it takes care of these special places, special stories, special resources, and so you also get the chance to work with a group of people that feel the same way that you do, that it's great to then also share that with all the folks that come in. And we're very happy at Stones River. I don't know how Oakland's is doing, but we're up about 30% this year in our visitation, and we've had our new entrance and the redesigned tour road and some great, new wayside exhibits out on the battlefield. And so, how we're sharing this story and with so many more people this year, it's been a really great year. And of course, it's not over for us, because this is the 150th for the first Battle of Murfreesboro. Of course, our big story comes at the end of this year with the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Stones River.
So I think it's a great partnership that you've got with Mary Beth over at Oaklands, because you almost bring it all together, what was going on in the society in that particular era, and the ones that how the war seemed to affect people in so many different ways. I mean, this particular area, you're talking about Murfreesboro in Tennessee, I mean, we were ravaged as bad as any state in the Union, and in some respects maybe more, and people lost their everything. I mean, they lost their homes, they lost family members. It was just, we can relate to some of the other countries that have had war actually in their area, which is... You think of the Civil War, and I mentioned that earlier, and I think when you were on our show, people think of it affecting the entire country, the war itself, but it didn't. Just a few states that really caught the brunt of the old battle. And this was one of the areas. And you were talking about the attendance up, and I asked you before we went on the show, where do most of the people come from that come to visit? Because I know it's very important for us that live here.
Yes,
but those that come from outside, it seems to be, it has something special in their heart.
We are one of the most important battles of the Civil War, the Battle of Stones River, and so we do attract a pretty wide audience. I would say that probably better than 60% of our visitation is relatively local. That being the state of Tennessee, up in Kentucky, and some of the bordering states. But as we were discussing, I mean, Ohio, Indiana, out in the Carolinas, Georgia. Yesterday seemed to be a Florida day. We had a lot of folks in from Florida for whatever reason. But 15 years working at the battlefield, I mean, I've seen plates from as far away as Alaska.
That's amazing.
And, of course, we get international visitors. I mean, our Civil War is of a keen fascination to folks over in Europe in particular, and even more in particular, Great Britain. They may do almost as many reenactments as we do of our Civil War over there. And so we get folks in, you know, from all over the world, just like any national park would, that, you know, from, you know, people are interested in our story. So it's really gratifying.
You know, one thing that's really different about our war here, and the war between the states is what I usually like, because I don't see anything civil about that war whatsoever, except for the fact that a lot of times it's family against family, brother against brother. And some of the stories that I have read during the major battles here, it would be almost like a referee would call timeout. And, hey, let's stop the firing, let's rest, let's get in the water, cool off, do some things like that. I can't think of any other war that was ever fought that way.
There are rare moments, maybe, you know, you can think about that, you know, the one Christmas truce that kind of broke out during World War One. But, yeah, I mean, you know, the sad thing about a civil war where, you know, the two sides are from the same country is that there, frankly, generally is more that unites them than divides them, if
right.
you really think about it. And that is certainly true for these guys in a lot of ways. And, yeah, I mean, the, you know, although, you know, brother versus brother actual on an actual battlefield can actually be a relatively rare thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a story from Stones River that, you know, there's a Confederate officer that sees a fella, looks like he's pilfering through a Union body for something.
Mm-hmm.
And he shouts at him, cut that out. And the guy looks up with tears in his eyes and basically tells him it's his brother. And
mm-hmm.
he's gathering some stuff up to send home to the family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a, you know, you read that letter and, you know, wow. I mean, yeah, it actually literally destroys families. Or, you know, where our last tour stop is with the big monument by the river. I mean, that's the McFadden's farm. I mean,
mm-hmm.
here you've got Holly McFadden, another lady, you know, she had her first kid at 14 and had about, you know, 13, 14 kids all together and four still living at home. When the Battle of Stones River comes her way, she was dead set against secession. She was, I guess you would call her a Unionist,
mm-hmm.
and yet her son is fighting in the Battle of Stones River, and while she's in town, there by her farm, 57 Union cannons are trying to kill her son in the 18th Tennessee Infantry as he's making the charge with Breckinridge.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, he survived.
Right.
So that didn't end in tragedy for her, but yeah, again, the human stories. I mean, you know,
that's what makes it so special, because you've got all of these people, a lot of them average guys like we are. They're put in extraordinary events, and then they become so large because it's the way they handle a lot of it. And Mary Beth, one of the things that we really haven't focused on, but we are now, before, was what the ladies had to do. Because they were really put in a situation that they had to step up to the plate, and a lot of time with very little help.
Well, they did. They did have to step up to the plate. And, you know, this is when we start to see the mourning customs really grow, too, in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Because of losing so many of their family members is when we start to get into that. And, you know, in the month of October is when we really explore that at Oakland's. But that's when you start to see mourning become a big business,
mm-hmm.
as far as, you know, having specially made death notices, the clothing that they wore, the widow's weeds, and you got into the, you know, how long you mourned.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really when that started to come to play, was because of the number of men and the family that you were losing. And that was added on top of an already really high infant mortality rate for the time,
mm-hmm.
That families would also cope with. So,
you know, it's something that I think that it will always be remembered here, because it was so devastating. It even touches families to this day. And it's just like the American Revolution. You have the daughters of the American Revolution, the sons, and then you have also the mm-hmm. the Confederacy. Because I think that a lot of people here don't want those people just lost in history. Mm-hmm. You know, they were fighting for something that they believed in. And, you know, it's a different time,
mm-hmm.
and that's the way all wars are. But did you guys have anything to do with when the sons of the Confederacy had their things.
Well, they came out and visited us a bunch. We weren't officially a part of anything except at the very end when they wrapped up for the day on Saturday. A fairly large group came over for a more organized type visit to Stones River, but we were very happy to have folks from coming in for this national reunion came and visited us, starting as early as I think like Sunday the week before they were coming in, and a couple of them actually stayed over to see Ed Barr speak last night in the courthouse.
Oh, wow.
Even so, I mean, they've kind of turned this into a little vacation beyond just the business that they had to conduct, and I heard all them committees and everything. It wasn't all fun and games for them here, but you're running a national organization. They obviously had a lot to do, but I think with the timing of the event, we understood that most of their formal interpretive events were going to be focused on Forrest and the raids. Mm-hmm. Why not? I mean, they literally were having meetings on the 150th anniversary of the day on July 13th. And so, but they did come out in pretty good force, and it was good to have them out here, and that kind of kicked things off. And as I mentioned, the Middle Tennessee Civil War Roundtable hosted, historian Ed Barrs here last night with nearly 200 people in the courthouse where part of the raid took place. And he gave, as usual, one of his great programs. And so we're going to finish it off this week with the programs between the battlefield and Oaklands, and really kind of focus again, bring the focus back on, one event, so many perspectives.
Right.
And we'll cover a few. I mean, you can't, because as individuals, we all see things differently. And, we know, I know from my time in law enforcement, I mean, how many people see one event different ways, right? And so this is the same kind of a thing. But, give people a sense that, every single one of these events that have big, larger implications for like the war, and of course the war shapes us as a nation, which is one of the other reasons I think lots of people still gravitate to the Civil War, is because it may be bigger for us as a country than the Revolution is, honestly,
right,
as far as making us who we are today.
In such a short time afterwards, too.
Less than a century, four score and 7 years ago. I mean, that isn't a lot
when
it comes right down to it. And we're not unique. Almost every major culture, major country has had a civil war, an internal strife of some kind. Ours, though, was different in many ways because we came out of it, I think, ultimately on the way to becoming a stronger nation, which is unusual. Most times it almost debilitates the country, and you almost settle into the dust, and then it rises back up again.
It took a while down here.
Yes, it did. And Murfreesboro is, certainly an example of that. It took a long, long time for this economy to recover, and families would never be put back together again with all the holes in them. But
Do you think the Stones River battle gets its due attention nationwide? Because I never have felt like
we're doing better, but no, we're still the Rodney Dangerfield of Civil War.
I always wondered why that.
That's one of my favorite phrases, but
maybe Forrest kicked him too hard.
Well, of course, that was Forrest wasn't at the Battle of Stones River. He's actually
beforehand. Yeah, right.
But It's hard to tell why Stones River has never risen to the prominence of, say, a Shiloh or a Chickamauga here in the west, or obviously Gettysburg, Antietam, and stuff in the east. Certainly part of it is the Western theater as a whole, even during the war, got kind of short shrift as far as press coverage. Part of, I think, over the years, what I begin to really think is, honestly, the Battle of Stones River left such a bad taste in the mouth of both armies. 30% casualties. A Union army that wins, but if you read the letters of the soldiers, one of their favorite phrases is, "We ain't got nothing to brag of in this battle." They don't hardly feel like they won, even though they have. And the Confederate soldiers trudging back to Tullahoma and Shelbyville going, "How the heck did we lose?"
Right.
I mean, many of them spent most of their time, knocking Yankees out of their positions and chasing them, and but they're, you know, they ultimately did get stopped, but they didn't really feel individually again that, mm-hmm. you know, obviously if they could see the big picture, it was actually getting pretty grim for the Confederate Army, and Bragg, you know, for all of his faults, actually made the right decision to leave the battlefield. But, you know, so here you have this group of men that managed to survive it, and they just kind of look back on that battle and say, I don't even want to think about that anymore. And, you know,
it was a major player during the war.
It has a huge impact on the war. Just like Forest Raid will basically be part and parcel of a series of events that literally arrests the way things were going. And honestly, things were going pretty badly for the Confederacy here in the West in the summer. Given another month or so, the Union Army might have actually waltzed right into Chattanooga a year ahead of the time they actually do. Mm-hmm. That could have brought the fight here in the Western Theater pretty much to a close. Mm-hmm. But instead, the raid coupled with some more actions by Forrest and some other actions in the rear of the Union Army mm-hmm. stops that and allows the Confederates to seize the initiative and move up into Kentucky. And it kind of changes the balance of power here in the Middle Tennessee region for some time. Stones River is very similar. I mean, once that battle is over, I mean, the Confederate Army has got its back to the wall, literally, with the mm-hmm. Cumberland Plateau. And once the Union Army gets its act together here and starts out at the end of June 1863 with big old Fortress Rosecrans supplying them, they will roll right on and take Chattanooga without a fight in about 3 months.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, and then from there the stage is set. On to Atlanta, the sea, the Carolinas, and that's the ball game. So I like to say sometimes you really consider Stones River the beginning of the end.
Have you yourself ever thought about writing a book about what happened here? Because you seem so knowledgeable, and of course you've been part of the total information gathering from the get-go.
I just did complete a pretty lengthy article in the Blue and Gray magazine mm-hmm. that's out there now. We sell it at our bookstore, and it's also available by description. But after writing that, which was about 30,000 words, I don't think you could ever get me to write any more than that, to be honest with you. I'd rather have people come visit me at the battlefield and I'll just chat with them. That's
I'd rather
more
talk.
Fun.
It's not as tedious, is it? Ranger Jim Lewis and Mary Beth Nevels, and we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with you.
WGNS.
From the WGNS newsroom, I'm Brian Barrett. Westbound lanes at Memorial Boulevard are closed because of a fuel spill. It will affect part of rush hour at least. So again, westbound lanes at Memorial Boulevard closed because of a fuel spill. That's between the Walgreens and the Kangaroo going toward Siegel. Those lanes are closed because of a fuel spill, and it will affect your afternoon commute. That's it for now from the WGNS Newsroom. More online at WGNSradio.com. I'm Brian Barrett reporting.
We bring people to know you, and you know them. People like Truman Jones. Weekday mornings at 9, only on WGNS. AM FM, online.
Beginning Monday, July 30th.
The Bunganut Pig is back and better than ever in the borough.
My name is Mary Fugit. I work for TriStar Title Company, and I had to come today to the Bunganut Pig because when my husband and I had our first date a couple of years ago, he brought me here for drinks and dancing, and it was the best time.
Join the Bunganut Pig every Tuesday night for live music. The Bunganut Pig on Northfield in the Georgetown Square.
Gordon Ralston Photography, 315 Hickerson Drive in Murfreesboro, and you can reach them at 396-8776 and on the internet www.gordonralstonphoto.com. And Al Gordon, a master craftsman photographer, and Larry Ralston, certified craftsman, both hometown guys, are the most awarded studio in the Middle Tennessee area, operating a full-service photographic studio in Murfreesboro. They specialize in weddings, high school seniors, and family portraits. Their work is classic, yet current with a creative edge. Al was even awarded the Grand Award for the best wedding image in the world. Gordon Ralston, they look forward to meeting you and will treat you like family. Gordon Ralston Photography, 315 Hickerson Drive in Murfreesboro, 396-8776, and on the internet, www.gordonralstonphoto.com.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by AmeriCare Pest Control, the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, and the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna.
This is Dave Gober with F&B Mortgage.
And Dean Higby with South Branch Nursery.
Be sure to tune in every Saturday from 11:30 to 12:30 for the Rutherford Home Show, presented by Old South Properties.
We are joined each week by local professionals to give helpful information about your home and the local community.
We also give you local real estate stats and rate information.
Join us here on WGNS for the Rutherford Home Show every Saturday, 11:30 to 12:30.
Let's check those Good Neighbor events. Early voting is going on right now through July the 28th. Go to WGNSradio.com and click on local events for exact locations and times for early voting. And on hot days, you know that air conditioners and fans do save lives. And during these dog days, it's so important for you to check with your senior citizen friends and loved ones to make sure that they're okay. And if they need an air conditioner or a fan and can't afford one, get with Dwight Ogleton at the Cool Aid Program. That help number is 818-2459. And if you'd like to make a donation to support the Cool Aid Program, make a check out to Cool Aid and take it by First Bank on Memorial. Now, all this month, you can sign up for the Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department's Youth Football and Youth Cheerleading. The football's for ages 5 to 13, and cheerleading is for ages 7 to 13. Call the Parks and Recreation Department now at 907-2251 for information. Check WGNSradio.com for more Good Neighbor events, local news, and weather. It's there for you free anytime.
Online bidding is now underway on Absolute Estate Auctions at ReliantRealtyAuctions.com. Three tracks located at 7155 Bradyville Pike. Selling regardless of price, no reserve, no minimum. Bid now at ReliantRealtyAuctions.com on the flattest, cleanest, best piece of land on Bradyville Pike. Multiple soil sites on each track, one including a home. See it now. Bid now at ReliantRealtyAuctions.com through Thursday, July 19th.
Now more of The Truman Show with Truman Jones on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Ranger Jim Lewis. I'm just going to call him Jim from now on. And Mary Beth Nevels. And this part of the program is brought to you by At Home Care. When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. Their company is different than any other you see in the local marketplace because their ownership operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means they're hands-on and involved in your family's care and satisfaction all day, every day. They provide clients what they want most, and that's to remain in their own homes as independently as possible with their own familiar possessions, neighbors, and schedules. What they do can't be learned from a book. It comes from the heart. They truly care. They provide top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Their professional office and caregiving staff has been developed and trained over the past 4.5 years. You can reach them at 713-4639 or at their place of business, 237 Castlewood Drive, and that's the number H building. And you can also pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. I've kind of left you out a little bit. They're here for a while, Mary Beth, but kind of give me a way of people when they come in. What time do they need to come in? What are they going to be looking for? And how are you going to relate in partnership with Jim over at the battlefield?
Well, we've worked with him on a schedule, mm-hmm. and the programs that are happening at the battlefield, the 10 o'clock and the 1 o'clock, we've scheduled the programs that the Rangers will do at Oaklands an hour and a half later. So people have time to go to the battlefield and participate in that program and time to look around and get back over to Oakland's. Mm-hmm. The next programs are an hour and a half later, so it'll be 11:30 and 2:30.
So it is a structured schedule.
It is. Now, all throughout the day, the clothing exhibit will be open from 9 to 5. It's open actually Friday. Mm-hmm. The clothing exhibit will be 9 to 5 Friday, 9 to 5 Saturday, and we have extended hours on Sunday of 9 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have house tours during that time that will go on the half hour. The house tours are going to be a half price adult admission. They'll be $5 per person. Mm-hmm. The exhibit cost is $5 per person. Mm-hmm. And then everything that takes place outside on the lawn is free and open to the public.
Now, you talk about a house tour. What's included in the tour?
We have tour guides that will be in costume, and they will take visitors through the house. And we have some additional information that we've added for this mm-hmm. special Civil War time from the oral histories I mentioned. So we've got some of that we have added into the house tours.
And the opinions that the tour guides give, I have been through that before. It's kind of unique because they find ways to tell what was going on at that time, and they're not reluctant to mention the fact that maybe one of the generals may have made a mistake or something along the way. It's kind of interesting.
Well, they have a manual that they go by that yeah. we give them when they are first hired, and mm-hmm. then they obviously can't tell everything on a tour.
No.
So they have to pick and choose what is the most fitting for the folks that are on the tour.
Or just
with
bring
them.
You into that particular era.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and you do have things for sale.
We do.
That are historic.
We have the museum gift shop will be open, and we do have not only we do have some artifacts that mm-hmm. are for sale. If people are wanting to start that collection of their own, mm-hmm. they're authentic Tennessee Civil War artifacts. But we also sell items that are reproduction, and we have a lot of local artists that we have tried to highlight in our gift shop. Local potters. Mm-hmm. We have a local woodworker who has taken limbs from some of the trees that we've mm-hmm. lost at Oakland's, maple, cherry, our old 250-year-old history oak. Mm-hmm. And he has made pins and pill boxes and wow. little toothpick holders out of that wood. So that's a really that's unique mm-hmm. keepsake that you get that you can purchase from Oakland's.
Now, you were talking about artifacts. The battlefield used to be a favorite place for people to go and find belt buckles and all those neat things, maybe a few rounds that were still laying on the ground or whatever. Is that a thing of the past, Jim?
Yeah. Big time. Actually, it's been a thing of the you might be dating yourself a little bit there. I mean, since the late 1970s, there has been a law across the land, the Archaeological Resource Protection Act, that actually prohibits the digging for archaeological items on battlefields or any federal property. Mm-hmm. It may or may not have been as strictly enforced before I arrived 15 years ago, but there's maybe a few people even listening out there that remember the first couple of folks I met on the battlefield with a metal detector and a shovel in their hand. And
Ranger Jim Lewis is talking.
And they and they do know that I think those folks went away with the understanding that there's a new law in town, so to speak. Understanding... we do have lots of bullets and buckles and shell fragments in our museum collection. It's not like we're trying to hoard it all.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that happened that helped me understand this when when I got to the battlefield was we had just completed, before I arrived there, a big metal detector survey mm-hmm. because we were getting ready to start farming the fields again.
Mm-hmm.
And we found lots of bullets and all the things you would expect, but mostly stuff that wouldn't be really all that special on its mm-hmm. own just as an object, because we already have thousands of them floating about. But the cool thing was every time they found something, they GPSed its location. They mm-hmm. And then you built a map of where things were in relationship to what everything else. Different caliber bullets could help you, using the historical record, actually determine that a particular unit was there firing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the thing. It's not just the object. It's where it is and where it is next to that really helps you tell the story better.
Right.
And think about the Little Bighorn battlefield. Mm-hmm. Everything you and I learned in school was completely and utterly wrong after they had that fire.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, you should have listened to the Native Americans who were telling the right story. Right. But, you know, fire goes, they go out, they do the archaeology, and everything we know about that battle changes. Now, imagine somebody had gone out there and dug up two-thirds of those things, one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
What will we have learned?
Yeah.
And so that's what we're trying to be the caretakers of, is the knowledge that can be gleaned by, and nowadays with these things you can just roll across the ground and almost see what's down there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to take it out of the ground.
So you're historically mapping out the battlefields and where some of the camps were and things
sure,
like that.
Sure, yeah, when it's within our boundaries and we've got the, you know, the wherewithal and the need. We, you know, again, we don't excavate things unless we really absolutely have to, and obviously we were going to plow those fields. We sure didn't want to churn it all around and move it around.
Mm-hmm.
So we went out there and took care of it. And actually, the folks that helped us do that, we had archaeologists from our Southeast Archaeological Center in Florida, but all the folks swinging metal detectors were members of the local clubs right around mm-hmm. here. And they had a big kick out of that, let me tell you. Because I've had them out in smaller groups as we purchase a piece of property or getting ready to do some, you know, work on it. I'll call up the Middle Tennessee Metal Detecting Club mm-hmm. or something like that, and they'll say, yeah, we'll provide you with 30, 40 people, and they go at it, and they have
That's
a great time.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. So they get to be part of that process of discovery.
Two of my old buddies, Tom Hoover and Matthew Royal, who I worked with for years, was a detective at the sheriff's office. They were really hardcore. And they had mapped out where they thought a lot of the camps were, and that's where they would dig.
Oh, sure.
That's a full-time job.
Oh, I've seen some stuff that some of the guys and gals that do that as a hobby, you know, you can call it a hobby, but they do some real good research. I mean, you got to know the history, you got to read those reports, you know, look at the, you know, period maps. And then many of them are very good at documenting their finds and stuff when they go out and do things. I've learned a lot from local folks that do it, but, you know, inside the boundaries of the park, all bets are off unless it's part of an original, you know, part of something we're sponsoring.
Yeah,
so.
we don't allow that at Oaklands either. But we were fortunate enough last year, I think it was last fall maybe, to have the Corps of Engineers doing some work at the baseball fields next to the property.
Mm-hmm.
And they unearthed about 2,000, I think it was over 2,000 artifacts that they used the GPS and they've cataloged them and they've sent them to us to go through, and they weren't necessarily Civil War era artifacts.
Some of them, a lot of them were pre-Civil War.
They were much older, arrowheads and you know, back much, much older than that. But, you know, they were doing it for the history of it, and so now we have that information that we can take, and we know exactly, you know, where everything was found.
Isn't it interesting? Indiana Jones was all over Egypt and the Mid-East doing all that digging, and we got enough to find right here to keep him busy.
Well, you know, right here, you mentioned right here, and you've asked about people coming from all over.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we do get visitors from every state in the country,
mm-hmm.
but like he said, the majority of our visitors are the people in our own backyard who come to visit. And there was a name put to it a couple years ago, which was staycation.
Staycation, yes.
And we get people in every day, once a week, that say, I've lived here for 20 years and didn't know Oaklands was here. Or I've lived here all my life and never
That's
came on a
believe.
Tour. It is hard to
it
believe,
happens.
but it does. We get it all the time, and I'm sure they do at the battlefield also, because we're so used to planning our vacation and going somewhere else. You know, how many of us have planned that destination vacation to visit another battlefield?
Living in Washington and not knowing the Washington Monument's
exactly.
there.
And this is the perfect time for kids to get their local history. With the anniversary, there's so much information out right now on the Civil War in Murfreesboro and in Middle Tennessee that families, this is a perfect time to go out and take your kids and see these events and let them see it firsthand, so that when they go to sit down in the classroom, they can recall seeing and feeling and the hearing the mm-hmm. guns. And so they, all of their senses are awakened to the history right here in their own backyard. We have worked for years now with the battlefield, with Jim Lewis and Mr. McKay, to partner on school programs. And we're so fortunate to have the school kids come and visit. A lot of times we'll coordinate together where they'll come and visit us in the morning and them in the afternoon. And so they're getting both sites in one day on a field trip. What a great field trip that is. Mm-hmm. If you're, you know, in the fifth grade, you're getting ready to study the Civil War, to be able to come to both sides.
Yeah, get
right
an
here.
Accurate account of what actually happened.
Right, and they're only going, you know, 10 miles from their school campus, so it's mm-hmm. not like they're traveling down the interstate. They're just going across mm-hmm. town and, you know, places that they've driven by, you know, every day when they get out and getting to hear the story. But this summer is the perfect time for them to come out and really get a feel for it.
Oh, this is the perfect weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, every day is a great day to be out there, but this is perfect because they get a total view mm-hmm. pretty much, with Oakland's being involved and the Stones River battlefield being
involved.
You
know, a lot of times when we talk about the Civil War, and I'm just as guilty of this, it caters to a lot of times the males, not always, but a lot of times, because of all of the battle information. And I'm the first one to tell you that I have a really hard time getting a handle on that. Mm-hmm. It just is not the interest to me. But when it comes to talking about the clothing that we have coming in,
that's
I'm
a woman
so
for you.
Excited. Well, we're hoping that this will be just the icing on the cake to get the families to come out, because not only is it something for, you know, dads and the sons, but this is something that moms and daughters can come inside and do. So we're hoping to make
else,
it all around.
Everybody likes to pet the horses.
Exactly.
Program.
So this is just a really well-rounded family weekend.
You know, some of those dresses I've seen look like some of the dresses my grandmama used to wear.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I've never put one on, but I see some of the women that put those on for Living History, and I'll tell you what, they're tougher than any of the guys putting on them uniforms.
Oh, I guarantee you. What the ladies had to go through during that war is unbelievable. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you.
Talk Radio WGNS.
From the WGNS newsroom, I'm Brian Barrett. Westbound lanes at Memorial Boulevard are closed because of a fuel spill. It will affect part of rush hour at least. So again, westbound lanes at Memorial Boulevard closed because of a fuel spill. That's between the Walgreens and the Kangaroo going toward Siegel. Those lanes are closed because of a fuel spill, and it will affect your afternoon commute. That's it for now from the WGNS Newsroom. More online at WGNSradio.com. I'm Brian Barrett reporting.
We bring people to know you, and you know them. People like Truman Jones. Weekday mornings at 9, only on WGNS. AM FM, online.
Beginning Monday, July 30th.
This is Greg Brooks. I've been asked what I'm going to do when elected road superintendent. Like Mike Williams, a retiring superintendent, I've been in the road construction business all of my life. This job is a natural progression of my experience at B&M Paving. I am not out to reinvent the wheel. I plan to run the highway department like a business that belongs to the citizens of Rutherford County, utilizing the current equipment and resources already in place to the fullest potential. Paid for by Greg Brooks for Road Superintendent, Rita Woodard, Treasurer.
Hi, I'm Dr. Patrick Showalter.
And I'm Dr. Chad Jackson. Did you know that Middle Tennessee Medical Center is home to the Da Vinci Surgical Robot, and that we are the first surgeons to use the robot in Rutherford County?
When faced with prostate cancer, the Da Vinci robot makes surgery an excellent option.
It allows for quicker recovery, less blood loss, and studies suggest it may be the most effective, least invasive treatment option for improving cancer outcomes.
For more information or to find a Da Vinci robot certified physician, visit mtmc.org.
This is Bill Bonner, property assessor of Rutherford County. In 2008, I ran my campaign on being fair and honest. And since that campaign, nothing has changed. I continue to be fair, honest, and treat everyone equal. I believe in Rutherford County, believe in giving back to the community. I'm running again and asking for your vote for property assessor. I love my job and serving you. Please vote for me as your property assessor for Rutherford County. I'm Bill Bonner, and I approve this message.
Online bidding is now underway on Absolute Estate Auctions at ReliantRealtyAuctions.com. Three tracks located at 7155 Bradyville Pike. Selling regardless of price, no reserve, no minimum. Bid now at ReliantRealtyAuctions.com on the flattest, cleanest, best piece of land on Bradyville Pike. Multiple soil sites on each track, one including a home. See it now. Bid now at ReliantRealtyAuctions.com through Thursday, July 19th.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with us. And we're going to let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. When you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's onto Ridgely Road. You guys have got some really good things coming up. And one thing I didn't ask you, Jim, do you have things that are for sale over at the battlefield?
We do indeed. We have a cooperating association partner, Eastern National, that has a bookstore in the visitor center, and we have books and things on the battle and Western theater and the entire Civil War, and actually goes as far as, you know, we have layers of history here in Murfreesboro, so we have things on the Trail of Tears, and which is for us the Nashville Pike running right through the battlefield, and of course popular items like t-shirts and knickknacks and stuff for folks that to remember their visit by. And
there used to be a little store or something close to you that would sell artifacts.
Yesteryear outside, just
are
outside
they still
the,
there?
Yeah, he's still there. We have a little joke inside the Civil War Cannonball Park thing in the Park Service that you can't officially be a Civil War National Battlefield without having a relic shop outside your front entrance. Because almost every one of us does. It's just Shiloh doesn't anymore. They closed down in front of their thing. But actually, Larry Hicklin's the owner there. And on occasion, when people come in and stump us with something, they want to know they found it, dug it up, or whatever. What is this? He's our go-to guy. And actually, we've worked it with him sometimes to acquire items for our museum, in fact.
Do you sometimes feel like the ranger over at Jellystone Park that used to have to chase Yogi and some of them off? I understand that one time you did something similar to that.
Me?
Yes.
I never worked in a big natural park like
that.
Yeah,
but relate what you did over here.
Over here?
Yes. You don't remember?
I'm not sure what you're
talking
about.
The ghost story.
Oh, the ghost story. Hell, well, yeah. You asked me.
Well, that may be legend by now.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, if there are some folks out there listening, then this might be your story. But, people ask about ghost stories all the time. And to be honest, in 15 years, I haven't seen a single ghost at Stones River. I try to keep an open mind, though. But I am responsible for probably a group of six or seven people who have been telling ghost stories about the battlefield. Was out in Civil War uniform with some fellas that were doing living history. We did a night march. We were camping out that night and stumbled on some young college students with a fire in the slaughter pen, and I hollered at them like a law enforcement officer, but forgot I was dressed like a Civil War soldier, and they pretty much turned tail and ran so fast. I'm certain a few of them are still telling stories about that dang ghost that chased them out of the slaughter pen, and it's all my fault. So
you're my kind of guy. Now, before we go, I just got a placard to wrap up the show. Tell everybody what exactly is the slaughterhouse,
the slaughter pen. It's the area down near the Wilkinson Pike. It's tour stop two in our tour, where there's a wooded area, filled with these gigantic limestone outcroppings, almost as tall as a man in some places, and it was where Union troops holed up and held off Confederate attacks for nearly 2 hours until being almost surrounded and literally cut to pieces. And it was said that the blood there amongst the rocks actually ran through the cracks and pooled in the low spots, so that some soldiers looked at that, they had been from Chicago and said, boy, that looks just like the floor drains in the slaughter pens back home. And the name stuck, and, you know, given what we know
from
the accounts, it was certainly that bad.
Yeah, I've even heard accounts that even sometimes the river would run red with blood.
And they talked about that as well on January 2nd. And Stones River was not a very, it was not a pretty battle at all for anybody. Yeah. And, you know, both sides lost 30% of their men. It was a bloodbath from start to finish.
Okay, this starts Friday, Mary Beth.
Yes.
Clothing, 9 a.m.
Clothing exhibit opens Friday, 9 a.m.
And people can spend Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this weekend over at Oakland's and at the Battlefield.
Yes.
And I think we've got the times out. And if anybody has any questions, they can call one of
call
you guys
check
over
our
there.
Websites.
Yes.
And everybody spend your weekend there. This is going to be something that will be very productive, very entertaining, and it's something you don't want to miss. And it, and only in Murfreesboro do you have that. So see you over there this weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.